plan. Simple carpenter given the task of raising the King of Kings. A young woman told she would bear a son. You know, as we are, I almost said as we are beginning in the Christmas season, but we're not beginning, we're in it. We're in the Christmas season and we celebrate the birth of our Savior. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does here in the Scripture is he gives us these passages that focus in not on the big picture, not on the truth of our Savior in terms of Christ coming to save the world, though that is there, but he gives us these passages where the camera focuses in on some individuals. And we get to watch, we get a lot of detail even. And so we get to watch how this thing played out. We get to listen to the interaction between the angel and Mary, and we get to listen to what is communicated to Mary and see her respond. And I think the Holy Spirit intends for us to watch with particular attention. What is going on there? Wait a minute. Who is this girl, Mary? Who is this young man, Joseph? Who are these people that God chose for these incredible roles? How could a young carpenter, a simple carpenter, raise the King of Kings? How could a virgin bear a son? How did God bring His Son into the world using people like that? Luke chapter 1. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us a whole lot of detail here, and these details are not meant to be skipped over. And so what I want us to do is just take this passage, and let's just walk through the passage and notice what it is the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to know this. It says in the sixth month. What sixth month? 6 months since the last passage when Elizabeth was told that she would bear a son. Elizabeth was married, had a husband, was not a virgin, but was too old, past childbearing years, and Elizabeth was told she would bear a son. Elizabeth now is in the sixth month of her pregnancy, and so the angel goes, sent from God, to a city. And I want you to notice first that the angel was sent to a place, and it was a city in Galilee. The name of the city is Nazareth. Now that's significant because Nazareth was insignificant. In fact, if you were to read on, when Jesus calls his disciples, Nathanael, when he hears that Jesus might be the Messiah and that Jesus is from Nazareth, Nathanael says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Mary lived in a city that was not well respected. But that's where God sent Gabriel. And he went to the city of Nazareth, and the one individual he went to see in Nazareth was a young woman. The verse says in 27 that she was a virgin. Now, let me explain that in a way that I want everybody to understand. And you're thinking, oh no, fear not, I promise you. What that means is that this young woman was not married and had not acted like she was married, right? That's what that means. That she was not married and she had not sinfully acted like she was married, because it's wrong to act like you're married when you're not, right? So this woman, young women don't just give birth out of the blue. But she was engaged to a man, and this man was Joseph. And he and she were of the descendants of David. They came from a priestly line. And I want you to see something very, very interesting here. At the end of verse 27, it says that the virgin's name was Mary. That what the Holy Spirit is pointing out here is the fact that she was not married and that she had not acted like she was married. That is who she was. Now, we're not really given a whole lot else about her except for that piece of information. We're really not given much about her character. There are some who would say, well, maybe that one piece of information that she wasn't married and she hadn't acted like she was married, maybe that was about her character. I don't think so. I don't think that was, that probably was not a whole lot different than a lot of other young women in her town and in her day. I think that with the strictness of the Pharisees the way that their society, that Jewish society was governed in that time, what you're reading here in that she wasn't married and she hadn't acted like she was married, that probably did not single her out much. But what it does do, what it very clearly does, is it points out that there was no physical, natural ability there to bear a son. And what it points out, the son that she would bear was completely unique. She was not able, she was not capable of her own to bear a son. It just could not happen. And that verse points out twice. Hey, don't miss this. Here's who she is. Can I just tell you? God delights in doing things that are not naturally possible. God delights in doing things that are not naturally capable for us to do. Because when He does that, there is no question about who is doing it and whose hand accomplishes it. God delights in doing impossible things. And so He comes to a young woman, a virgin. And He says, verse 28, "Greetings, favored one." Mary, you're the favored one. Me? And He says, "The Lord is with you." God was with this young woman. Why in the world was she favored with this role? We're not told right there. Now, I think later on in this passage, I think we're going to see some things about her that give us some insight into why God chose her. But right here, we don't know. We're not told. But look, she's perplexed at this. She's confused by the angel's greeting to her. Imagine if you were going about, you're just sitting there washing dishes, and all of a sudden, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Wait a minute, what are you about to tell me here? Why are you doing this? So it confused her. The angel goes on and he explains a little more. He says, "Mary," he says, "you don't need to be afraid." He says, "Mary, you have found favor with God." Mary had indeed found favor. Think of this for just a second. What was Mary being given? Mary was being favored with the role of watching God do something supernatural in her body. Something that was complete, she was incapable of doing. Nothing other than the very hand of God, of watching something supernatural take place in her body. Watching a son grow up who would be the King of Kings. She had the privilege of bringing the Savior into the world and introducing the world to the Savior, of watching God's hand in her life and watching God's hand through her life bring the Savior to the world. Personally, she got to be a part of that right there. She got to have a role in bringing the Savior into the world. She was favored. That was an incredible gift to be able to see that with her own eyes, to be able to take part of that in her own life in a way that only God could have done that. She was favored. And so the angel says, Mary, Mary, you have found favor with God. Mary, do you know?
And I realize that's a catchphrase. Realize that. I think she did.
Mary, look at what God has given you. What has He given her? Verse 31. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Mary, you're going to have a baby. And it's going to be a boy. And Mary, his name is going to be Jesus. In Hebrew, that word is Yeshua. That ought to sound very similar to you to another word. It's the same name as a book of the Bible, Joshua. It means the Lord saves. Mary, your son, his name is going to be Jesus. The Lord saves. Then the angel tells her a little bit about this boy. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Jesus. The significance of his life will be great. The angel says that he will be great. His life will be of the utmost significance. His life will have worldwide significance. He will be great. People will look to him. How will he be great? He will be called the Son of the Most High. Mary, this boy is going, people will call him the Son of God. And not only that, but God is going to give him the throne of his father David. God is going to sit him on the throne. This little boy, Mary, he's going to be the king. And he's not only going to be a king, he's going to be the king that God had promised, who would sit on David's throne, and he's going to sit on David's throne over God's people forever. Mary, your son is going to be the king that God has promised for 1,000 years since David. And he is going to be the king over God's people forever. I want you to notice, this is really interesting. I want you to notice something about this. And I want us to stop right here. And I want you to put your I want us to sit kind of in Mary's seat for just a second. And I want you to listen to what the angel has told her, and some of what the angel has not told her. But for Mary, Mary has just gotten some incredible pieces of information. The first of all, that she has found favor with God. God has favored her with an incredible role. God, you want to use me? The second is the way in which she would be used. And the way that she would be used was a complete impossibility for her. Mary, you found favor with God, and I tell you how you found favor is that God's going to give you a son. I can't do that. No, but he's going to give you one nonetheless. And so she was going to bear a son, something she could not do. And the end result, in fact, this is fascinating. God gives her a picture of what the end result is going to be. The end result, Mary, you're going to have this son, and this boy is going to sit on David's throne forever. Mary, your son's going to be the king. Now, what the angel gives to Mary about her son is all what will be. The angel allows Mary to see what the end result is going to be, that her son is going to be the king. The angel doesn't tell her anything about what's going to happen in between that day and when her son would be the king, does she? The angel doesn't tell her anything about having to flee to Egypt because Herod killed all the baby boys. The angel doesn't tell her anything about searching for 3 days when she couldn't find her son because when he's 12 years old, he left his father and mother and went to visit in the temple. The angel says nothing about the day that Jesus would be crucified. The angel says nothing about that. The angel just says to Mary, Mary, you are favored with this role. Mary, you're going to have a son. Mary, the end result will be that your son is going to be the king. Imagine Mary's mind. Well, wait a minute. What if they find out that I'm pregnant and they stone me to death? He can't be king then. What if Joseph finds out and then he doesn't want to marry me anymore, and then I'm an outcast, and how's he going to be king if he lives, even if they don't stone me, if my son lives as an outcast, an illegitimate son? Nobody will accept him. How can he be king if nobody accepts him? I don't know how that can be. Well, what if, about that time, it's probably about a 50% infant mortality rate. What if my baby gets sick and dies? How's he going to be king? The angel didn't answer any of that. You see, when God favors you with a role, and by the way, every time God favors you with a role in His plan, it is a role that you are incapable of doing. Do you realize that? Anytime that God favors you with a role in His plan, it is a role that you are completely incapable of accomplishing on your own. And anytime that He favors you with a role that you are completely incapable of accomplishing, it will be a role in which there are a ton of what ifs. Well, God, what if this? Well, God, what if this? God, I don't know how this is going to work. Well, God, this might happen. God, and they might do this, and this person might respond this way. And God, what if this doesn't happen? There will be a ton of what ifs anytime God gives you a role. And it's a role that you're incapable of doing. And it's a role that you have no idea how in the world it's going to work out the way that God said it will work out. But if He says it, it will. God said, your boy's going to be the king. And you know what? He will be. Mary wasn't stoned. Jesus didn't die in infancy. Herod didn't kill Him. The Romans and the Pharisees did, but you know what? He rose from the grave. And to this day, even to this day, we are still waiting for Jesus to sit on that throne, aren't we? But we know He will. We know He will. God called Mary to a role, and it was a role that she was completely incapable of accomplishing on her own. And it was a role that she would have to wait to see the end result of. That she would have to suffer. I mean suffer. If you went to chapter 2 and you saw after Jesus is born, Mary goes to the temple and Simeon comes up to Mary, recognizing instantly Jesus as the Messiah. And he says to Mary, this boy will pierce your own heart. Meaning that she would watch him suffer and die. The angel didn't tell her anything about that at the beginning. The angel just told her what the end result was going to be. She had to trust. Let's keep going. Verse 34. Mary said to the angel, well, how can this be since I am a virgin? That's a legitimate question. We see earlier in chapter 1 that Zechariah, when he is told Elizabeth will bear a son, Zechariah doubts. I do not see, and I don't think the Lord took Mary's question for a doubt. I think Mary is simply asking for further instruction. Mary's thinking of the mechanics of this thing. God, is there something I'm supposed to do here? God, you got to tell me what. What do I need to do? How's this going to happen? Because, God, that kind of thing doesn't normally happen. Mary just wants to know how and what she's supposed to do. Mary's not questioning that it would. Mary just wants to know how. And you know what God does?
God answers her.
Watch.
Verse 35.
The angel answered and he said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God."
Mary, you've been favored with this role, Mary. God has chosen you for an incredible role. And Mary, you're not able to do this on your own. You are incapable of accomplishing what I have given to you to do. And Mary says, "Well, how's it going to work?" "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Mary, this is going to be a work of God's power and God's Holy Spirit. There will be no question about how this happened. There will be no question about whether Jesus is the Son of God or not. There will be no question about His uniqueness. There will be absolutely no question about who did this. It is the Lord, and it is His power. It's not you, Mary. It's not Joseph. This is God. And he gives her a little bit of a consolation. He says, listen, in verse 36, "Even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. She who is called barren is now in her sixth month." He said, Mary, listen, you're not the only one in whose life God is at work. Elizabeth, as old as she is going to have a son. That would have been a shock to Mary. What? That would have been shocking news to Mary. She didn't know that yet. But the angel lets her in on some news to help her see what God was doing. God was doing something in Mary's life that she did not expect and that she could never have accomplished herself. And here is the universal principle for how. Nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. Mary was given a role, a favored role. Mary was shown favor by the Lord by including her in this incredible plan and by God doing things in her life that was absolutely incredible. And that role was completely beyond her ability. And within that role that was completely beyond her ability, the Lord told her, "Hey, listen, this is going to turn out great. I'm doing something here. You're going to bring into the world the King of Kings. And so the end result is going to be absolutely amazing." But Mary had to trust all the way through all of the what ifs, all of the potential problems. Mary had to trust, hey, this is a work of the Lord. Even today, we have to trust that God is still going to accomplish that promise He made to Mary. And within that role, what God is doing is He is proving through the life of a young, unmarried woman, He is proving that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Now, how would you respond if God came to you and He said, "Hey, you have been favored by God, and God has given you a role to play in His plan, and your role is such that you will be completely unable to accomplish it." You know that phrase where people say, well-meaning people say, that God will never put on you more than you can handle? "Hey, Mary, you're going to have a baby." No, see, God always puts on you more than you can handle. Always.
Why? Because everything He gives you to do, you will have to depend on His power and His strength to do it. And so Mary got a role, a favored role within God's plan. It was a choice role to see God work. But it was a role that she was completely incapable of accomplishing. And it was a role in which she would have to trust the Lord to see the end result. And it was a role that involved lots of risk and lots of pain and lots of sacrifice. But He had told her what the end result would be. But here's what she had. What she had, go back. In verse 28, she had the promise that God would be with her. God is with you. And in verse 30, she had the promise of God's favor in her life. And then in verse 35, what else did she have? She had the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think there is a reason why God chose this young woman and why the Holy Spirit laid this scene out for us in the way that He did and the details that He gave us. And I do not think that I am reading between the lines too much to suggest that we are meant to look at Mary and to look at what God did in her in terms of bringing the Savior to the world, and then to recognize that the very things that God has said to Mary, He has also said to us. Are we not meant to be, Jesus said, the lights of the world? Are we not intended to be the very presence of Christ in a dark world? Are we not intended to reflect the glory of the Father and the truth of His Son to a world that desperately needs to hear Him? Am I not meant to be like Jesus and for my life to reflect His character and His love? Am I not intended to be God's messengers? The Apostle Paul says, the ambassadors of Christ. And the role that I have been given is different depending on every situation that you find yourself in. It very well may be that you find yourself having been given a role, and it involves being a mother or a father. It involves being a son or a daughter. It involves being a friend or a neighbor. It involves going through sickness. It involves going through a move. It involves sacrificing this dream. It involves changing this plan. It involves letting go of this hope. It involves turning loose the fear that this might happen. You name it. You think about your situation that you are in right now, and the things that you are dealing with, and the people that you are around, and the circumstances that you find yourself in. And the fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit comes and He says to you, if you are a child of God, and you have trusted Christ, and Jesus is your Savior, and the Holy Spirit is living in your life and in your heart, then He comes and He says, listen, you have found favor with God. Why? Because He has saved you through Christ. He sent His Son to die for you, to give you a new life and to adopt you as His child. You have found favor with the Lord. And He has given you a role, the role of reflecting His character in whatever circumstances you face. He has given you a role, but it is a role in which you are completely incapable of accomplishing. And within that role, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, within that role, he has told you what the end result will be. In fact, you flip ahead in Luke. Jesus, to a woman named Martha, who wonders about her dead brother, Jesus says to her, "If you will believe, you will see the glory of God." He has told you what the end result will be. He says to us, "Listen, if you will believe me, you will see the glory of God." Now, we have not been chosen to give birth to the Messiah, but we have been called to carry him, to live his life through us. That is our calling. And the end result, when we trust him, will be that he will bring himself much glory through our life. And there are a ton of what ifs. "God, I didn't recognize that I was going to have to do this. God, you mean that right here in the middle..." And I can use even my own family. Right here in the middle of having just lost my grandfather and watching my parents take care of my grandmother and my uncle. "God, you mean this is the way I'm going to use my retirement? God, you mean this is what I'm going to have to deal with?" Or maybe it's more personal. "This is the sickness that I'm going to have to deal with. God, you have called me to be Christ with cancer. You have called me to show the joy of the Lord in the middle of having to take care of somebody else. God, you're calling me to have the joy of the Lord and Christ-like attitude when you know what these other people have done to me. God, you're calling me to this?" "Greetings, favored one. You have found favor with the Lord." "But God, how?" Acts 1:6. Not Luke 1. Acts 1. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Almost a quote, word for word. The promises that God made to Mary, he makes to us. "God, how? God, you know I can't do this." Listen, can I tell you something? For the follower of Christ, the follower of Christ can't ever say, "I can't." Only, "I won't." The follower of Christ can never say, "I can't." Only, "I won't." Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. Mary, she had never been married, never acted like she'd been married. But the girl bore a son. You're not being asked to do that. I'm not being asked to do that. Nothing will be impossible for God. Now let's watch. Verse 38, Mary. How in the world does Mary respond to this? Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Our English translations try to kind of soften that word "slave" a little bit by writing "bondslave." Throw the bond out. She said, "The slave of the Lord. My life is yours to control. God, whatever you want. God, wherever you send. God, whatever you put me through. God, whatever. May it be done to me according to your word." God, whatever you have in store. God, whatever role it is that you want me to play. God, whatever circumstances you want me to suffer. God, whatever sacrifices you want me to make. God, whatever. May it be done to me according to your word. She had found favor with God. She had been given a favored role, a role that she was completely incapable of accomplishing, a role where she had been told what the end result would be, but certainly there were many days in between that caused her much pain, a role where she would have to trust what God had told her, and a role where she would have to submit her life and her dreams and her plans and her fears and say, oh God, what you want, whatever it is. But it was a role in which she would know God's presence and see His hand at work in her in a way that could only be the Lord. And it was a role in which she got to hear the promises of God. And it was a role in which the Holy Spirit would enable her to do something that she could not do. It was a role in which God favored her with. And she brought the Savior into the world. I don't want us to miss, in this season where we celebrate our Savior, and we should, and Christ is lifted up, and this little baby who we celebrate His birth, the only reason we celebrate Him is because He died on a cross and rose from the grave and will one day sit on a throne. But He will. But I don't want us to miss, in the middle of all of these beautiful decorations, what God did in the life of one ordinary young woman who said, may it be done to me according to your word. Father, God, I thank you. I thank you for this scene. I thank you for preserving this interaction. God, I thank you for teaching us. Father, I pray that seeing this would move our hearts. God, we would recognize what you are doing in our life. God, we would see your hand in Mary's life and recognize your hand in ours. And God, you would soften our hearts. God, I pray that our hearts would be tender and that we would receive what it is you have called us to, and that we would be willing, Father, to lay all our lives down and to be your slave, to follow your direction, to do what you would have, whatever that is. And God, I pray that we would see your power. We would see your hand. We would know your favor and your love. God, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for using Mary to bring him into the world. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to live his life through us. Oh, God, help us. Lord, you know we are weak. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And it may very well be that you are here and listen, the only right that we have to think of ourselves as favored by God, the only right that we have to consider ourselves as being given a role within God's plan at all is because of Christ, because of this baby that God used Mary to bring into the world. It is His life and His death and His resurrection and His new life that comes, that cleanses us from sin and gives us a new life that has the ability to be called the child of God. It is only because of Jesus that we are God's son or God's daughter at all. And if you are here and you are without Jesus and you have never trusted Christ who died for your sins and rose to give you life because the sin that you have said that you have sinned has ruined your life as it is, and you have never trusted Christ like that, and I beg you to trust Him today. We have no claim to any relationship with the Father at all except because of what Christ has done for us. And if you are here without Him, I beg you not to leave without getting that right. I'd love to share more about what it means to trust Jesus as your Savior.
But brothers and sisters, it's very possible that we are here and rather than trusting the Lord for the role that He has given us, there is anger, or there is dissatisfaction, or there is even bitterness, or there is an unwillingness to recognize what the Lord wants to do in our lives and the power that He has given to accomplish it. And today, maybe you are sitting here and you need to soften your heart and say to the Lord, God, whatever, I am your slave. Let it be done to me according to your word, and to accept the role that God has given you and the promises that He brings with it, and trust Him. Let's let Him do that in our hearts now. Let's stand and sing.
Hymn 217.